Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
My guest today is a writer, a singer, a songwriter, and a political activist. Lloyd Marcus is the chairman of the Conservative Campaign Committee, which is a PAC, and its mission is to elect conservative candidates across America. That's not the main reason we have him on the program. He is a brother in Christ. He is the son of a pastor. He is, as I said, a singer and songwriter, but he is, in his own words, an unhyphenated American, and I really appreciate his refreshing testimony, and I hope you'll enjoy hearing this conversation as well. Lloyd, welcome to the broadcast.
I am not an African American. I am Lloyd Marcus, American!
Well, we're glad to have you on the broadcast, brother. I'm very thankful. I've got a son who many people would call African American. He doesn't go by that. He doesn't even focus on the fact he's an American. He focuses on the fact he's a follower of Jesus.
And, that's great.
You know,
that is great.
I think how we identify ourselves. My wife is into genealogy, and she's been doing all this research, and she got me to submit my DNA, and it came back. I am 100% European. I've never lived in Europe in my life, but it says I'm 100% European, and it says that I am at least 55% Scandinavian. Well, I knew my mom was Norwegian, and apparently some of my dad's Scottish genes were also from the Vikings. So,
wow.
You know, I mean, I don't identify myself as a Scandinavian American.
Jim, I have to tell you, a lot of people have given me hate mail for saying I'm not an African American, but I believe that the hyphenating divides us,
yes.
And hyphenating is just one of those politically correct things that we know we have to do if we know what is good for us. And
yeah.
Me calling myself the unhyphenated American, that basically happened by accident back in 2008. This was the beginning of the Tea Party movement.
Yes.
And I was singing at this rally in Orlando. And just before I walked on stage, it hit me to say that. And there were 6,000 people in the audience at that rally, and I walked out and I said, "I'm not an African American. I am Lloyd Marcus, American." And the crowd erupted with a yell of approval,
mm-hmm.
and applause. And people came to me after the rally, and many of them had tears in their eyes, and they said, "Thank you for saying that. We hate hyphenating, because we believe that divides us, and we are all Americans. But you have to hyphenate, or people will call you stupid and
yeah.
Ignorant and
well,
all
it's,
that."
Well, it's tragic because we, you know, Martin Luther King talked about the fact that he wanted to see his children and grandchildren able to live in a land where people were not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I work with young people who come from black families as well as young people who come from white families. We work with kids who are of Asian ancestry and Hispanic ancestry and Native American ancestry. And you know, if that's what you're focused on, you are not going to have the life that God intends for his children to have. I love the
Amen.
Fact that in the New Covenant, the Bible says, "There is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." Now, outside of Christ, out there in the world, it is a very divided and divisive place. It is an environment where people are looking for ways to set themselves apart, whether by the school they went to or the school they cheer for or whatever. The neighborhood they live in, the region they're from, the way that they talk. My right. relationship with Jesus is what I'm about.
And something else also, we have to really admit that like all of this racism stuff is really despicably done on purpose.
Yes.
I tell you, the reason that so many Americans voted for the first black president because they wanted to finally get over the racism thing that America is a racist nation. And since Barack Obama has been the president of the United States, the race thing has doubled down tremendously. We are totally polarized along racial lines now, and that was done on purpose. The Republican Party has basically signed on to everything Obama has wanted to do because they're afraid to oppose the first black president. And I became a member of the Tea Party movement, not because of the president's skin color, but because I did not like his socialistic policy. So I became a member of the Tea Party movement. 40% of the folks who were members of the Tea Party movement, they voted for Barack Obama, but they did not like the way the direction that he was taking our country down the road to socialism. Mm-hmm. And the mainstream media, they tried to call the whole Tea Party movement a bunch of redneck racists, and that was so far from the truth. I have been on 14 national tours with the Tea Party. I have attended well over 500 Tea Party rallies. Those people love me to death, and they kept apologizing to me. I had to say, stop it. They kept saying, Lord, we're not opposing Obama because he's a black man. We're opposing him because of his policy. And I would say, I know that. I feel the same way.
Well, it seems to me that there are a lot of people whose living is dependent on keeping the fires of racism alive.
Amen, brother. Boy, amen, amen, amen.
If they don't keep things stirred up and perpetuate a victim mentality, then they're out of
talk
a job.
To me, brother.
They're
going to
have they're going to have to go out and get a real job.
Yes.
And
it's so destructive and it is so satanic and evil. America is the greatest land of opportunity on this planet. I don't care whether you're black, white, purple, male, or female. If you have a dream, you can be successful in America. This is the greatest land of opportunity on this planet. And for the Democrat Party, I know this is not a political show, but I have to say this. For the Democrat Party to continuously sell victimhoodism to black America and that white folks are burning the midnight oil, thinking of ways to hold blacks down, that is despicable and it is evil.
Well, lies are despicable and evil. And I'll tell you, I've encountered racism, in my own life against blacks, even though I'm very white. As I said, I'm 100% European, 55% uh-huh. Scandinavian, and I can't even get a good tan. But but I know this. When I spoke out against racism from the pulpit based on Scripture, because racism is evil, no matter who's doing it.
Amen.
And when I spoke out against racism in the 1970s, there were people in the state of Mississippi who literally wanted to kill me. That was certainly a time that brought about a lot of prayer. But
yeah, it's amazing how that the Lord has sustained you and me and all of us for such a time as this.
Well, amen. I believe that. And I do believe that, you know, racism is an evil that must be confronted. We got to not just speak against it, but we've got to live opposed to it. We've got to live a life that shows it for the empty lie that it is. It's not that racism doesn't exist. It's that the cure is not more racism. The cure is not more government programs. The cure is changed hearts and changed lives. And Dr. King knew that. And he said that. And it's not that there isn't a place for government to protect people from racial discrimination. But if what we do is level the playing field and open the doors of opportunity, then that's justice. If what we do is racial preferences and that kind of thing, that is not helping anybody.
Thank you very much. I totally agree with that. Affirmative action is basically wrong. Something else that I resent about the Democrat Party is that they continuously sell blacks the message that they're inferior to white. They always want you to lower standards for black folks. Like, take this voter ID thing.
Right.
The Democrats are saying it disenfranchises blacks to have to show a photo ID to vote, because blacks are basically too stupid to find their way to the DMV and get a photo ID. But don't black people catch airplanes? Don't they cash checks? But suddenly, to say the blacks have to show a photo ID to vote is just too difficult for black folks. And black people do not realize that they are being insulted at every turn. Right now, you know, we have 70% of black kids who are not graduating high school. Why? A high school education is free.
Right.
70% of black kids are growing up in single-parent households. Back in the 1950s, when racism really was a problem for blacks in America, 80% of blacks were growing up in two-parent households back in the 1950s. Today, now that the federal government has been in the black community for the last 50 years, having a vast amount of black people on food stamps and welfare, 70% of those kids are growing up in fatherless homes. And yet, any time that somebody talks about that and tries to fix that, the mainstream media and the Democrat Party jumps on that person and they call that person a racist for not understanding the difficulty and plight of being black in America.
Yeah.
No, America is the greatest opportunity on this planet for all who choose to go for it, and I'm going to keep on saying that.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. Now, you did a book that I want to tell our listeners about. It's called Confessions of a Black Conservative, How the Left Has Shattered the Dreams of Martin Luther King Jr. And the foreword for your book was written by Michelle Malkin.
Right.
In that book, you talk about the fact that what many people pay lip service to, and that is the dreams of Martin Luther King Jr., they are actually working to prevent from coming to pass.
Yes, and that is so despicable. When you look at Dr. Ben Carson, he's an amazing black surgeon, and he talked about having anger problems when he was young, and he did not have a father in the home, but he had an amazing mother.
Yes.
And he became a born-again Christian as well. Dr. Ben Carson would be a tremendous example for black kids across America. The NAACP, you know, who say that they are really advocates for blacks, they should be holding Dr. Ben Carson up as a shining example of what one can be via education and making responsible choices in their life. But rather than loving Dr. Ben Carson, the NAACP and the Democrat Party, they hate Dr. Carson.
Right.
And you go, why? Because Dr. Ben Carson does not perceive himself to be a victim of America, and he loves his country. And these are the people who are supposed to be advocates for blacks. They hate Herman Cain, too, an amazing businessman, a black guy. So, like, all of these successful blacks, they hate. And who do they hold up? Michael Brown, who got shot attempting to take up a policeman's gun from him. Mm-hmm. Michael Brown, he robbed a local convenience store. He assaulted the manager there. And the NAACP and Hollywood and the mainstream media is holding up Michael Brown like he's some saint.
Well, because
that's
again,
perverted.
It is perverted. They want, their whole enterprise depends upon being able to make people remain in a childish state of dependence. They want to treat them as perpetual children, and that is cruel. It is insulting.
Amen.
It is evil.
And it's insulting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is saying you're not as good as the others. And so we're here to take care of you. That is not going to help people to get out of difficult circumstances.
Hey, Jim, let me tell you something about my amazing dad. Back in 1952, my father, he was a day laborer, and and my father was one of the first blacks to break the color barrier to become a Baltimore City firefighter.
Wow.
They despised my father at the firehouse. They did not want him there. He could not drink coffee from the same coffee pot as the white firefighters. They had a separate restroom for him, a separate place for him to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
He was treated horribly there.
Mm.
My dad won Firefighter of the Year 2 times.
Wow.
Did they have to lower the standards for him? Absolutely not. Because he was an excellent firefighter, he eventually won the respect of all of the men in that firehouse. He was the pastor of a small storefront church back then, but he eventually became one of the chaplains of the Baltimore Fire Department.
Marvelous.
As well.
Marvelous. Now, Lloyd, growing up in that environment with a dad who was a pastor, and I hope, brother, that it's okay for me to say this because we haven't talked about this at all. But you have a challenge when it comes to speaking as far as getting your words out. But
right.
You do not have that challenge when you sing, do you?
No, I don't. No.
And I want our listeners to know that you are not only an author, you're a singer and a songwriter. And and when you sing, it just flows, doesn't it?
Right. I think it's funny that you should talk of the stutter, because my whole family stutters. And I talked to my father the other day. I said, I'm going to therapy. I've done this. I've done that. And my father said, this goes all the way back to your great-grandfather. Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, have you ever, I'm sure you've heard of him, but a country singer by the name of Mel Tillis?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, Mel had a stammering problem or a stuttering problem, and I heard him tell the story of being in a motel room and waking up in the night and realizing there was an intruder who was robbing them. And he tried to speak to one of the other guys who was there in the room with him, another musician, and he couldn't get the words to come out. And so I'm not going to get the tune right, and I'm not going to necessarily get all the words right, but he said, I finally just sang, there's a burglar in the room. And I love the fact.
I bet it sounded really good. There's a burglar in my room.
Well, you have a wonderful voice. You have a wonderful musical ability. And I think it's marvelous that God has put a song in your heart. And I thank you so much for the fact that it's not just your words, it's your life and your desire to speak the truth and help this country avoid disaster.
What do we do? I mean, I have been doing this for a gazillion years, attempting to spread the message. What do we do? Are we just continue to see our country getting progressively worse? I saw a California school that, like all of the kids, will be taught homosexual lessons starting from kindergarten.
Yes.
And the parents are not allowed to opt their children out. What do we do?
I think that's a great question, Lloyd, and I'll tell you what I believe, because I've prayed obviously about this, and I hear from people about this question all the time. What do you do? How do you take a stand? First of all, if you are not a Christian, you've got much bigger problems than what's happening in this country, because
Amen.
However bad this country gets, you're going to get to a much worse place when you die. And so if you don't know Jesus, you need to get saved. If you do know Jesus, you need to gain some perspective. You need to realize that God promised us that in this life we would have tribulation. And
That's
the reason
right.
for that is because, as we read in John chapter 3, this is the judgment. The light is come into the darkness, and men preferred the darkness because their deeds are evil. The problem is not that people don't know right from wrong. There are people who don't know nearly as much about right and wrong as they should. But the problem is that everybody, by nature, tends toward the wrong. When we know this is what God says, but this is what I want to do, we go with what we want to do instead of what God says. So the solution to the problem is not going to be a political solution. The solution to the problem is changed hearts and changed lives.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Doesn't mean we shouldn't be involved in the political process.
I agree.
It
yep.
does mean we've got to be people of prayer, and we've got to be people who, no matter what the culture around us is doing, we're the salt, we're the shining lights. If the salt loses
the
its savor.
We're the salt.
Yes.
That is something else that has really bothered me. I have seen so many Christian folks becoming fearful of being salt.
Yes.
And they are simply going along in the name of love to everything the world says.
Well, and you're right. And the problem with that is it's not really love, because the fact is love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And so
Amen.
If you embrace the lies that the devil is permeating in this culture, the fact of the matter is you're not helping the culture, you're not helping your neighbor, you're not loving your neighbor. You are sending your neighbor to hell with a pat on the back. And that
Amen.
Is not love. So, you know, if I was living in a district where the schools were wanting to teach my children that homosexuality is okay, I wouldn't be saying, how can I get my kids out of that class? I would be saying, my kids are not going to that school.
Thank
now, I've
thank
got
you.
Friends
thank
in
you.
I have friends in Germany right now who are leaving the country because in Germany you cannot homeschool your kids. Now, there are some Christian schools in Germany that, for now at least, are allowed to teach according to biblical principles. But if you don't live close enough to one of those Christian schools, your options are to send your child to the government schools in Germany or have your kids taken away from you. So my friends are leaving the country, and I'm telling you, that's a foreshadowing of where we're headed if many people in this country get their way. There are many people who don't think parents know enough to raise their own children. We need to take their children away and put them in government schools and government institutions.
Pastor, there are fewer and fewer people that are speaking the truth with boldness the way you are. It is shocking.
Well, what I want to point people to, and I applaud your efforts to get good people to run for office. That's a good thing. But I'll tell you something. If you're a socialist or a capitalist and you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell.
You're in big trouble.
So, you know, there's a much bigger problem that's got to be dealt with. And that's why, first and foremost, I want people to hear the gospel and know that Jesus came to save sinners. So you keep being faithful, brother. And I want you to know you've got a fan right here.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, Lloyd, for coming on the broadcast with us. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.